The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and James Millman in the studio. We've got jumping from Newbury and Doncaster. There's all weather racing at Lingfield in the afternoon and the usual Friday evening fair from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio, it's Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
A very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm in absolutely tremendous form and, as the festival gets ever closer, ticking the days off the calendar, starting to get my shoes polished, getting my coats to the cleaners,
yeah,
book myself in for a haircut, you know, everything's geared round that opening day at the festival.
Are you going to the festival then, Pimmy?
I am indeed.
Yeah.
The days are gone when I could manage, when it was the happy 3 days,
yeah,
I could manage them, but the days are gone now.
Don't stay the 4 days.
No, because what happened, even in my maturing years, I still haven't managed to get over the fact that Monday night, racing's still going to be on the next day. I tend to forget that it's going to happen.
Right.
Get myself in a bit of a mess. Tuesday arrives.
Oh, dear.
Another mess, Tuesday night. Wednesday, racing. The big one, obviously, on the Wednesday, the Queen Mother. And then by that, the body's had enough. The liver has become weak. The mind frazzled.
Right.
So just 2 days. But I think, to be fair, Tuesday's a brilliant day because you've got the champion early, we've got the Arkle. Wednesday, we've got the Queen Mother. So there's lots of, to look forward to then. And again, if I'm being frank, the Gold Cup day is just so busy these days that unless you're possibly one of the privileged ones in a box, it is a bit of a bum fight. I mean, obviously, you're still there for the blue ribbon of racing, but it's very, very packed indeed.
Yeah, it is. It gets very busy on Gold Cup Day. I went 1 year and it absolutely bombed it down as well. I was absolutely drenched.
Well, there's just nowhere to hide.
Yeah, exactly.
Nowhere to hide. That's the problem. Like I say, if you've got the niceness of a bit of hospitality or something somewhere, and I mean, who knows, you could well be invited.
Well, you, if anybody's listening that wants to invite me in a box, then feel free.
Yeah. Living in a box. Living in a cardboard box.
Yeah.
That might be more where you're heading, Sunshine, hospitality-wise.
Good.
So,
right.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good. A little bit of news as well for the festival. We've learned today that Aurore d'Estreval, the Queen Mare, will not go to the Mare's Hurdle. She's not picked up anything serious, but it's just the festival's going to come too soon for her now. And that's kind of... She was one of the main opposition to Annie Power.
Yeah, she was.
Annie Power was now 8-13 at the top of the market for the Mare's Hurdle, ahead of Glenn's Melody, who was 9-2. So the two Willie Mullins runners dominant in the market, and then it's 9-1 barring those. So.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's a shame for the Queens because things haven't just fallen in place for them this season so far. One or two things going wrong, as happens, you know. And this mare is high class, so they obviously don't want to risk her, that's for sure. But let's be right about it. Annie Power isn't nailed on to get there yet.
No.
So I would sit tight. I'd rather take a little bit shorter that she's going to make the lineup sort of thing rather than have a guess now and she doesn't even get there. So... tentative with her, you know. Listen, it wouldn't blow us off our chairs if Mr. Mullins turned around and said she's not going to make it either, would it?
No, or even if he said we'll go to the World Hurdle with her as well.
That's a possibility too. So she's options as that filly, and obviously getting her there is going to be the big thing for them.
Mm. I think Glenn's Melody's not a bad each way bet to nothing at 9-2. I mean, you maybe lose a little bit of money if she hits the frame, but she did finish second behind Quavega in last year's renewal. So.
Yeah. Oh, no, she's got the form in the book, and all of a sudden, Annie Power doesn't line up.
Yeah.
She's going to be very short, you know? So, like you say, she could be a bet for nothing, that one.
Mm. Okay, so that's the Mare's Hurdle. In about a week's time, or 2 weeks' time, Pimmy, Friday's Racing Podcast, we'll be looking ahead to the Gold Cup. So
oh, blimey.
Let's have a quick chat about the Gold Cup. We learned that Richie McLernan's going to ride Holywell, and AP will be on Carlingford. Lockshood He get to the race okay. AP did tell us that himself a couple of weeks ago. But how do you see the go-cup picture anyway? Would you give Holywell a chance?
No.
What about Carlingford Lock?
A bit.
Yeah.
A bit. I'm not a Holywell fan, to be honest. I wasn't really overly taken by him with that success at Kelso. I mean, he can only but win, but he didn't have a great deal to beat. And I just thought he did it okay.
Yeah.
By the sounds of the advanced weather forecast as well, he's possibly not going to get his really good ground that he wants either. And so that would be a negative for him as well. I think we've only got him at about 10 to 1 now,
yep.
Which for me, couldn't have.
I'll spin you through the betting, in fact. Sylvaniaco Conti is 3 to 1, 8 to 1 for Many Clouds. Road to Riches is 9s, 10s for Holywell, Carlingford Lock 11s, 12 to 1 for Coney Gree, Jack Adam and Foxrock and Lord Windermere. Bearing in mind, Foxrock does still need to be supplemented, and then 16 to 1 or bigger for the others.
I think the favourite is a worthy favourite this year. He's done absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And the vibes that we're getting from Nichols is very bullish.
Yeah.
And all this, but he hasn't got home and one thing and another. He does seem to be a little bit different horse this year. So I would think he's actually all right at 3-1, being yeah. value.
Well, Paul Nichols said he's the best Cheltenham team he's had since Cotto Starr and Denman days.
Yeah.
And he obviously thinks a lot of Sylvaniaco Conti in that bracket. So.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, he's every right to head the market. I think it's interesting that we've got a big gap then to an 8-1 shot in the shape of Many Clouds, who for me is certainly a progressive type that... is sure to be in the mix, but I'm sticking with Lord Windermere, last year's winner. I know it's not ideal back-to-back wins, doesn't often happen, but I do think that they specifically trained him with Friday the 13th of March in mind.
Yep.
I think they've gone softly with him. I thought he showed a lot more spark in their Hennessy last time at Leopardstown, and I think at that price, he is value for me at 12-1.
Yeah,
definitely think he's value.
I see where you're coming from, yeah. It's one of those where it's quite an open race anyway, isn't it? So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think, again, exactly in the words of Noel Mead, who is great to see him back with a bit more firepower than he's had recently. And I think he's saying is that, you know, it's very much of a muchness. And he says, for many of the others, a good jump or a right decision by the jockey, whichever could make the difference. So I think, you know, what he's saying is, you know, if you take the favourite out, then they are much of a muchness, and it's who turns up on the day or has a good round of jumping, or, as he says, the jockey makes the right decision to kick or hold or do whatever on the day, then that could play into the hands, you know. So it's an interesting one. Even if we don't particularly think it's a classic Gold Cup, it's still a very open one.
It is. Anything else on your festival shortlist at this moment, Pimmy, or are you still working on it?
Well, I think my main priority is that I've got the three restaurants booked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, good.
So I think that's what I've got that done. So I'm quite satisfied with myself now. And I'm going to sit tight now, let everything else unfold and take a little bit closer look. Because I'd rather be a point or two shorter, but be there on the day.
Yeah.
That's my thinking, really. And again, obviously, you know, we're thinking it's going to be on the easy side. So that might just want to bear that in mind if you are having a little punt anti-post. Because certainly the forecast sounds that way unsettled, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right. Should we move on, Pimmy?
I think so, because most of the listeners are asleep now.
Yes. So let's get Pimmy's best bets for Friday.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, some decent racing on Friday. We've got jumping at both Newbury and Doncaster, and Pimmy's got some bets for us at both. So we'll go through them in chronological order. The 3 o'clock at Newbury is the first one he's picked out. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. We've got 6 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy, and a few of them in decent enough nick. So how do you see it going?
I think it's a competitive little race, this. And I thought, you know, all 6 you could make a case for. Admittedly, Chestnut Ben was beaten a long, long way last time at Market Raisin behind Big Water. Slightly disappointed, but he'd been in winning form prior to that. Cody Wyoming's a model of consistency for the Charlie Manyard. And admittedly, he's now up £6 from his winning mark of 117 last time we saw him when he won at Catterick. And I thought that wasn't a bad race, actually, when he beat Pearl's Legend by a length and a quarter. So he's definitely a player. Village Vic's interesting. He only managed to finish 4th last time at Fosslass, but I'm not a real big fan of Fosslass form because he's so, so testing there that you could possibly forgive him that slightly disappointing run. Crafty Roberto's been in cracking form. He ran really well behind Ballycool at Utoxeter last time. Merida Anges? No.
Marie des Anges.
Marie des Anges. Oh, blah, blah. Well, that one fell only at the sixth fence last time out of Uttoxeter, so you can forgive him that run. And prior to that, he was a readied winner. And again, gone up £8 for that win, but certainly will be in the mix. And then you've got Paddy the Stout, who, again, is consistent. Possibly not the best horse in the world, but he's definitely consistent. And he ran fairly well behind Pearl's Legend at Sandown last time out as well. So, as I say, six of them come in with a sporting chance. Nailing McCullers to the mast, though, I'm going to stick with the ultra-consistent Cody Wyoming.
Cody Wyoming, then, for Pimmy in the 3 o'clock. The 3.35 is the next one I was going to look at. This is a Class 4 Limited Handicap Chase. It's for the novices as well. Over 2¾ miles. So we have 10 of them in the lineup for this one, Pimmy. So possibly a nice each-way shape to the race?
No, definitely a good each-way shape. And again, a lot of the horses in the race coming into it on the back of reasonable runs. One or two had little blips last time. Trucker's Darling had a pulled up. So did Triller and Malitha. Pulled up. Winston Churchill fell when he only got as far as the sixth fence last time out as well. So one or two of them just negatives, but by the same token, you've got Hella Boston winner last time out, Bally Pointer winner last time out. So, you know, one or two of the others again coming into it in good form. I'd just like to try and take a slant on this. We wouldn't have early prices, have we, for this race?
No, not for this.
No. I thought there's two I'd liked here. Valley Point from the Twist and Davis Yard, who won off a mark of 107 last time out, gone up £9 £9 for that success, but has in the past, in his pomp, so to speak, won off a mark of 122. So he might just be coming back to form, and certainly his confidence will have been bolstered by that success last time out. And the other one I think is interesting is Bandit Country. Tongue tie for the first time tomorrow. He has been slightly higher in the weights than what he is again tomorrow as well. And I just think that he's had 4 weeks off since that last run. He just might come back to his old best tomorrow afternoon. So Bandit Country, it would be for me in a competitive 2 mile 6 handicap chase.
OK, Bandit Country then for Pimmy in that one. And to Doncaster we go for the final selection. This is in the 5.25, which is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3.5 furlongs. It's nearly 2.5 miles. And 14 of them to pick from here, Pimmy. It's going to be an open race, isn't it?
Oh, wide open, yeah. And again, as we do this recording, the ground officially good at Donny. So first time a lot of these horses will have raced on genuinely good ground. Often we think of Doncaster as a good drying track.
Yep.
So that'll be certainly interesting. Again, a couple here that I thought would catch the eye. Churchfield, he fell last time out. But again, prior to that, he's been in some reasonable form. Has the young lad, Jack Savage, taken a valuable £10 off his back? So that might swing him into the equation. I mean, he only got as far as the second last time out. So, you know, forget about that. But prior to that, he'd run OK on his debut coming back. The other one I thought was interesting was the Charlie Longsden runner, Sassanova.
Yeah.
Now, tongue-tied for the first time, which is interesting. We've done our little bit of homework regarding Davy Russell, who's taking the mount. He's got two mounts there for Longsden, which is quite an interesting booking, I think. I don't think he's gone there for the goodness of his health. And, again, Sassanova, with the tongue-tied for the first time, might just perform slightly better than what we've seen him done in the past, you know what I mean? I mean, last time he was 7 lengths behind Billy Two Tongues at Wetherby. For me, that wasn't an awe-inspiring race by any means. And it doesn't sort of give him a right, really, to be very competitive. But I do feel that the tongue tie will help. And I just think I might be reading too much into the Russell coming over.
Yeah,
but
well, it's interesting.
I think it's
yeah.
an interesting one, that is for sure. And I would think that would be an each-way price, Sassanova. So I'd go down that route in a competitive field. Sassanova for a little bit of each way. And the other one I thought was interesting, who, again, could come back to form and could be in the bracket of value, and that was Poker School. I thought he slightly disappointed last time at Newbury, but I think, again, this is more his level.
OK. Just, you mentioned Billy Two Tongues there as well. Obviously, Sassanova finished second to Billy Two Tongues.
Yeah.
Ran at Wincanton on Wednesday and finished second, so maybe the form's not too bad.
Billy Two Tongues ran, yeah. Did he?
Right wing Canton.
Right, okay,
second.
I didn't notice that. I just know the horse from his point to point days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He left Eastby and he's gone somewhere else, hasn't he? And he finished second.
He's gone to the sales, I think, in the interim. Yeah. Yeah. So, again, that form's obviously not as bad as I possibly thought.
Not too bad, maybe.
So yeah. Then Sassanova again might be more interesting with that. You're telling me that.
Good. OK, well, let's have a quick summary for me, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Friday one more time.
Yeah, looking forward to Friday's action. Some competitive stuff, both in Berkshire for the Newbury card and in Yorkshire for the Doncaster card. The selection in the 3 o'clock is going to be Cody, Wyoming. In the 3:35, I'm going to take two against the field each way in the shape of Valley Point and Bandit Country. And in the 5:25 at Doncaster, again, a competitive handicap field. I'm going to take two against the field, and that is in the shape of Sassanova for Charlie Longston and Davy Russell, and Poker School for Ian Williams and Will Kennedy.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Well, the next time we do this, we'll nearly be there.
We'll nearly be there. We'll be another week closer.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go. That's Chris Pimlott on Friday's Racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and James Millman in the studio. It's Newbury, Doncaster and Lingfield in the afternoon and Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.